Welcome to the Lions Den University Report. This program brings you a behind-the-scenes look at the spiritual life on today's university and college campuses. Now here's your host, Glenn Bailey.
I'll have to say, it's exciting to be the host of the Lions Den University Report, and we're glad you joined us today for this broadcast. It's my privilege to travel around the country and meet interesting and committed followers of Jesus Christ on the university and college campuses in a variety of involvements on the campus, from guest speakers, professors, university presidents, a couple of them, students, graduate and undergraduates, athletes, coaches. Just the other day, I was given some information about a couple of coaches in the Richmond area at universities, head football coaches who are followers of Jesus Christ and involved with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and am starting to make those contacts for possible interviews with those two gentlemen. So it's exciting to travel around the campuses on our university and college campuses around the country and to meet the guests that we have. Today's broadcast is a continuation of an interview that I had recently near our flagship station in State College, Pennsylvania, with a guest who does street preaching on the Penn State University campus. And this was our first guest who's done that category of ministry, of street preaching on the campus. He does it in a unique way, and we're continuing that interview today with Pastor Jeremiah Montgomery, who's the pastor of the Resurrection Orthodox Presbyterian Church in State College, who does weekly street preaching on the Penn State campus.
I say, my name is Jeremiah. I'm the pastor of Resurrection Church here in the community. And then I say to them, I'm not here to scream at you. We are here because we love you and we want good things for you. And we are encouraging you. We're here every week encouraging you to discuss your faith. Now, what does that mean? And then I go into a brief explanation of our three principles. Principle number one is that every human being, every human life has something at the center. Whether you're explicitly or specifically consciously religious or not, every human life has something at the center, something we're living for, something that functions just like a God.
Right.
And then the second step is, if that's true, and we believe it absolutely is, the second step is, even whether you're explicitly or self-consciously religious or not, it would be an important and wise thing, just as a human being, to know what's at the center of my life. And so step two is identify your functional God. And then the third step is to analyze it, to ask the hard questions. Whatever it is I'm living for, can it actually function in that way? Can it forgive me when I do something wrong? Can it carry me through death? Because as Christians, we believe that Jesus Christ is the true Savior, the true God, the one who can forgive us when we sin, who has died so that we may be with him in heaven and in the resurrection. And so alongside of these questions, we encourage people to consider the claims of Christ. What if they are true? What if, we say this to skeptics, what if all the stories about him are actually true?
Right.
That's what DYF is about. And then every week over the course of the semester, I pick one basic topic of Christianity. For instance, usually we start with the idea that there is a God.
Mm-hmm.
And I explain to the students, I try to explain to those who stop to listen, that though Christianity is a supernatural religion, it's not irrational. You have to draw that distinction between the supernatural and the irrational. And it comes back to what I learned in college, that what your basic assumptions about reality really govern how you'll answer these questions. If you allow that there is or could be a God like the God of the Bible, the idea that he could speak and write a book, not that hard. As Paul says in Acts, when he's standing before the kings, why is it thought incredible by any of you that God could raise the dead? So that's what we're about at DYF. We don't harass people about what they're doing on the weekends, because until you come to know Christ, there's really no ultimate compelling reason why you shouldn't, if that's what you want to do.
So you're raising these kind of questions and issues. Mm-hmm. I mean, is there an interest? Do you have people that come and stop and stay and enter into a dialogue with you then?
Yeah, it really varies. And there have been times when we've had significant groups standing around. And there have been other times when we've had very little interest. And this past school year, we didn't see a lot of interest. But the Lord has a way of surprising us. So in years past, we've been doing this now since about 2012, I think, spring of 2012. There have been times when you think nobody's listening. And then there was the time when the group of students that always met to get lunch together on Wednesdays, And they would always gather at the rocks right by where I was standing, where one of them come up to me and said, toward the end of the semester, you know, hey, semester's almost over, and I don't know if we'll see you again, but my friends and I have been, we get together for lunch, but we've been listening to what you say, and we really think there's something, you know, we appreciate it.
Right.
There was a senior graduated a couple years ago that he never became a Christian, to my knowledge, professed to be, I think, a communist of some sort. That's definitely not a Christian, but even he said to me, and he would come regularly, he said, look, I really appreciate what you're saying about trying to identify this idea of a functional God, you know. Now, I don't believe that Jesus is God, he said, but what you're saying is right. You know, we need to, you know, this is important to think about. We have had one student who was converted. We met him through DYF, and through follow-up, he came to know Christ for the first time.
Great. And now, you know, doing this is kind of radical. And I went to Berkeley and back in the late 60s and early 70s. And when I got one of my alumni letters a number of years ago, they said three things you'll remember from your experience at Berkeley. I think one was the campus, the main library, and something else. But then they put in the street preacher, Holy Hubert. It's a memorable person because, you know, it takes some nerve or courage or faith or whatever to get up there. And do you have some people who are hostile, or how has the administration responded to you doing this? Have you had any feedback from those sources?
I've never had any interaction with the administration. I at times wondered whether I would, but a friendly student informed me one time that where I'm speaking actually is the free speech zone. So I believe as long as we're not socially disruptive, we're not, at least at this point, we're not going to be asked to leave. A free speech zone still means that we can speak freely. Occasionally you'll have a student or somebody who will walk by and shout something, but generally we don't get as hostile of a response as some. And I don't know whether to attribute that to our ineffectiveness or maybe to the tone. We are trying to be gracious. And there have been times when people have stopped by with their cell phones, you know, they're taking video, right? They're waiting for me to say something really offensive so they can post it to social media.
Sure.
And inevitably they get bored and walk away because we're not giving them that soundbite, a provocative soundbite. So I haven't had a lot of hostility. Now, the fear factor is always there, right? But I'm really encouraged by what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, that he himself was not a bold person. You know, he says he was with the Corinthians in weakness and much trembling, right? And that helps me because it tells me that courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is pressing on, following Christ, even when you are afraid. And so, you know, if that's what we mean by courage, then yes, God gives us that sort of courage. But this idea that even Paul himself, you know, kind of strode manfully across the campus with the Bible and, you know, no fear and no trembling, I just don't think it's biblical.
Right.
And it's certainly not me.
Sure.
It's terrifying. Most terrifying thing I do is part of my ministry.
And it says in Corinthians there that God chooses to use the foolish things of the world to confound the wise sometimes, and the things
Absolutely.
That we would not think, you know, and I think this is something that the Christian community needs to learn, is that God calls us all to different things, because there may be some Christians who think, well, that guy's nutty out there, you know, speaking out in public like that. Well, that should be in the church, and if they want to hear it, they'll come to his church.
Well, I mean, there's a place for that too, right? We preach the word at church, and are there better ways to evangelize? Maybe. I don't claim that this is the best way, but we are seeking. You think about our society today, Glenn. Where can you meet non-Christian people in spiritually significant ways? I mean, I talk to people all the time in the community, and I do other things to try to meet people.
Right.
But so often, you'll get to talk to somebody, and as soon as they find out that you're a Christian, or particularly a Christian pastor, you can see the glass wall going up. You know, they're on exit mode, right?
Sure.
And so that's part that comes with it. That's the offense of the cross. But how can we actually meet non-Christians in spiritually significant ways? This is a venue that exists in our community. Not every community has one, but we do. Mm-hmm. And so why not avail ourselves of it? If somebody says, I've got a better idea, I want to hear it.
Right.
But this is an idea. Mm-hmm. You know, was it Moody, right? I'm not going to get the quote right, but he says, I like my way of doing evangelism better than your way of not doing it.
Yeah, okay.
And that's just how we have to go.
Right. So, right. And the key is getting us all out and using our gifts and our burdens and so on. And, you know, just when I was at Berkeley, I thought that, you know, these street preachers are ineffective, or they turn people off more than draw them to Christ. And you try to you know, adjust for that. But even with Holy Hubert, who had his a tooth knocked out and might have even been stabbed one time, and you know, he had a real reputation there.
Sure.
That I was standing there in a crowd one day, and a student I was standing next to had some questions, and I invited him to a Bible study, and he later came to Christ as a result of that initial interaction. So we don't want to put God in a box or limit his creativity. I mean, he created the universe, and so we're glad that he laid that burden on you to do something creative and here at Penn State, and as well as doing your pastoral work to go out there once a week and interact with the students and out in the public. For Christ.
Well, and part of a pastor's responsibility is to lead the congregation in evangelism by example. And so hopefully, you know, if people learn nothing else, that they learn that you can still be weak and fearful and still share the word. And in terms of, as you say, many campus preaching, street preaching does turn people off. But I hope that that's part of what we do at DYF. You know, of course, Penn State has their own street preachers, regulars who are very famous, infamous, perhaps they don't need to be mentioned, but we all know they're out there, right? But hopefully, if nothing else, and I say this to our helpers many times, that even if nobody stops, even if they don't stop, even if they don't listen, what do they see? Hopefully they see Christians who care enough about them that they're willing to risk scorn to come out and talk to them, but they're coming out and talking to them in a way that's not hateful, that really does show concern. And if that's all that we can do, for hundreds of students that walk by, that's something. It's not nothing.
Amen. And this edition of the Lions Den University Report has been a unique interview with Pastor Jeremiah Montgomery with the Resurrection Orthodox Presbyterian Church in State College, Pennsylvania. And Jeremiah has been sharing with us about his ministry up on the Penn State University campus, doing some street preaching there and a kind of a different approach to it. But we are glad to have you listening to the Lions Den University Report. We have our interviews now on a website. If you'd like to listen to others of the interviews, I mentioned we have a wide range of guests, from professors, even a couple of university presidents, to athletes and coaches and students, graduate and undergraduate students, internationals, campus ministers, and today a street preacher. And we'd love to have you find out more. Not only about the relationship with Christ and some of the guests on our program, but you can go to the Lions Den University Report.org. That's a good number of letters all together, all lowercase, with no spaces, the Lions Den University Report.org. And you could hear this or forward this interview on to someone else that you know, or other interviews that we've had in the past 6 or 8 months that are posted on the website. One other thing we offer is a quarterly newsletter, which we send out the latest 4 interviews on a CD format to any who request it at no charge. And you're welcome to request that and receive that once a quarter with the CD of that month of the interviews. And I do that free of charge. We also do receive financing for our broadcast, and if you'd like to get involved that way, we'd be happy to hear from you. My announcer will give our mailing address at the conclusion of the program, but we're glad you joined us here today for this unique interview. And so Jeremiah Montgomery has been my guest. Jeremiah, thanks for joining us today for this edition of the Lions Den University Report.
Thank you, Glenn. It's my privilege.
You have been listening to the Lions Den University Reports. If you would like more information about the Christian life or would like to contact the Lions Den or one of the guests, please write us at the Lions Den, Post Office Box 226, Mifflinburg, Pennsylvania, 17844. Or email ltcldur@yahoo.com.